I found myself, as we were worshiping together, just being thankful for each of you, just thankful for this fellowship. I look forward, I don't know about you, I look forward to coming and being with y'all every Sunday, just being together, just being in the house of God with His people, that we love one another and we love Jesus, and more importantly, He loves us. If you are visiting with us this morning, I want to give you a special welcome. There is a blue card in the seat in front of you that we would love for you to fill out. You know, we're not, I tell people that we're not a perfect church. Wiley Methodist is not a perfect church. There are no perfect churches, and there's lots of really good churches in our city. And I encourage you. I hope that we are a church that you can plug in, and that you feel the love of Christ in this place. But if we're not that church, find one. If you're visiting with us this morning, find a church family. Plug in. Be engaged. Make covenant with that group. And I hope that church would be us. But if it's not, we're not for everybody. You know, I'm surprised my wife has stayed with me for 34 years. So I certainly feel blessed and honored that you would come and hear me preach on most Sundays. So, turn with me, if you would, with that in mind, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Now, I'll set the stage for this. Now, what we have in the Scriptures, just to kind of summarize, we have the birth of Christ, and we have a few things that happened in Jesus' childhood, and then we have him as a teenager going to the temple and surprising everyone with his wisdom and knowledge and teaching in the temple, and getting separated from his parents and so on and so forth. And then there's kind of this gap where the Scripture seems to indicate, as Jesus was growing up, that he was growing in the knowledge and grace of the Lord, and he was So the Scriptures are kind of silent during that time. And then we pick it up right before this passage that we're going to read today. Jesus shows up. He begins his ministry, and he's baptized. John the Baptist baptizes him in the Jordan, and it says that Scripture tells us that the Spirit of God, when Jesus came up out of the water, the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and God himself proclaimed that this is my Son, whom I am well pleased. And so there's this filling of the Holy Spirit, and that's has just happened. And we pick it up, Luke chapter 4 here, verse 1. I love these first few words here. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I need the Holy Spirit? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, it's almost like this Scripture, it's almost like the devil is real, isn't it? I mean, you could almost be led to believe that there really is a devil. Yes? I'm being sarcastic. Sometimes I communicate through sarcasm, if you hadn't figured that out. If you don't believe in the devil, you're going to have to deal with this Scripture. Okay? The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written." Jesus referring to the Scripture. "Man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." You think the devil's arrogant? A little arrogance there. "It is written," Jesus answered, "worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," see, each time he's questioning who Christ is. "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will..." Now see, did you know that the devil knows Scripture? Uh-oh. He knows Scripture too. But see, he does what he does. He twists and perverts. That's what he does. "For it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Now, notice, it didn't say he was through with Jesus. He'll be back even with Jesus. He left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Let's see. Let's pray. Let's pray. Woo! Nah, you know, that buffet line is calling my name. What can I say? You'll know why I said that here in just a minute. Go ahead. Let's pray. Lord, it's even good to laugh. It's good to laugh and be your people. We love you. We ask you to come, Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that filled Jesus, the same Spirit that led him and empowered him, we ask for that Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that lives in us, to come. Speak in power and authority in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the reason I said let's eat, I'm going to tell you this story. Whew, that was bad. When I was a little boy, I've been told this story, and there's documentation to prove it, so I guess it was true, but I was 8 years old, and I liked me some food. I still do, but if it was laying around between me and my brother, it wasn't going to be laying around very long. I don't know how Mom and Dad supported the family and fed us, but anyway. So there was a cake, and it, one of those pans, you know, with the lid on it, those cake pans, and came home, I guess. I was home one day, and I was 8 years old, and I opened that pan, and there was around a half a cake left. And normal kid would have a piece of cake. Well, I had me the whole cake, I've been ornery all my life, I guess, but I was ornery when I was eight, and so I left this note. My mom kept this note. Mom left this note. There we go. I don't know if you can read that. I put it in under the cake pan. Now, I was eight. Spelling was not my strength. Can you read that? You're fried, Jeff. I'm pretty sure that I meant to say your friend, Jeff. So when Mom got home and opened up the cake pan and went for a piece of cake, she would find that note. Well, and then she wrote on the back of the note and has kept it all these years. Show that next one there, Lee. I don't know if you can read that, but it says, "I found this note in the cake box. Instead of eating one piece of cake, Jeff ate all of it and left this note where the cake was supposed to be. Age 8, December the 24th. October the 24th, 1968. Temptation goes way back. Did you know that? Temptation is something we all struggle with. Now, at 8, about all I had to be tempted over was half of a chocolate cake. But that was a pretty big temptation for me, and I wore that cake out. But you can go all the way back, and you can go all the way back to the garden and find temptation. The devil tempted Adam and Eve. Now, the temptation, I want us to talk for just a second. Let me go ahead and tell you what our series is called today. We're going to continue the Weathering the Storm series. Weathering the Storm. It's up there somewhere. It went black again on us. We had that fixed. But anyway, we got some new toys back in the sound booth, so we may have some technical difficulties today. But the title of this sermon today is Overcoming Temptation. Overcoming Temptation. I want us to talk just a second about temptation. Two things I want us to get straight about temptation. Number one is that we are all tempted. And every single one of us. We just read the scripture. Jesus was tempted. And I'll give some more about that later, but this was not the only time that Jesus was tempted, but Jesus was tempted. So temptation in and of itself is not a sin. Now, if you think that you're beyond temptation, then you've already succumbed to the sin of pride. Because every single one of us is tempted. I've done some ministry with my friend Mark Hewitt with Love and Care Ministries, and I see these folks that living on the street, and I always think, you know, if I hadn't had a good mom and dad, if I hadn't had things break just a certain way for me in my life, that could be me holding that sign. That could be me holding that sign. Temptation is all around us, and none of us are above it. The second thing about temptation that we need to know is that temptation in and of itself is not sin. It's the surrendering to it. When we take it in, when we embrace the temptation and surrender to it, that becomes sin, and the temptation itself is not. So we need to understand that while chocolate cake may be your worst temptation that you face, probably not. Probably not. It may be one of the things that you face is overeating or whatever, but there are many temptations that we face. Now listen to what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians. Be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Beyond what you can bear. So we understand that because we have free will, because God loves us enough to give us free will, He wants us to choose Him. He could have just made a bunch of robots that would just do whatever He commanded us to do, but instead He gave us choice. He gave us free will, and because we have free will, we can make bad choices. So temptation is very real, but it's not sin in and of itself. So how do we overcome this temptation? How do we overcome temptation in our life? I have got four things I want us to talk about this morning. We can overcome temptation if we admit we are vulnerable to it. If you think you're above it, if you think you're above some sort of sin in your life, are you listening to me? Shake your head like this if you're listening to me. If you think you are above some sort of temptation in your life, you're very vulnerable to that sin. I don't know how many pastors, many of them prominent pastors, nationally prominent pastors, have fallen in their ministry. And I'll tell you something, when a Christian, when someone who is a pastor or is a very vocal Christian, when we fall, that hurts the kingdom. I mean, that does damage to the kingdom. God is still God. God is on the throne, and it doesn't change that, but it does damage to the kingdom. It is so damaging when someone who has publicly professed Christ in a very vocal way falls. Do we understand the importance of walking out our faith, church? Do we understand that? We must admit that we are vulnerable to it. Now, if you want to, I'm not going to read all of this, but you can find this in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, and is the story of David and Bathsheba. And you know the story of David. He was the shepherd boy that God chose and anointed him as the future king, and he was the least likely. He was the little brother of the clan, and they didn't even bring him to even be reviewed when they were looking for the king. They left him with the sheep, and they said, wait, there's somebody else. This isn't, it's none of these, and it ended up being this shepherd boy, the least likely. So David slayed Goliath, and he slayed thousands and hundreds of thousands of the enemies of the Jewish people, and he became a great king. And yet we find in 2 Samuel 11 and 12 that he finds himself on the palace roof, and he gazes over to another rooftop, and he sees this beautiful woman bathing. Well, I want to tell you something. Right there, temptation sets in. Now, what do you think God would have had David do at that moment? Go back down. Go back down into the palace. Get off the roof. Go back down in the palace. What did he do? He gazed upon the woman. Temptation became sin. He called for the woman. She was married. He had an adulterous affair with this woman. She became pregnant. He had her husband killed on the front lines of the battle to cover up the pregnancy, and all kinds of things were happening bad in David's life because he was God's man. And Scripture tells us that David was, God even said, this is a man after my own heart. He was God's man. And yet, he stumbled in a very dramatic way. Ended up, the child that was born to this adulterous affair ended up dying. And there was all sorts of consequences for this sin in David's life. But he went on to have other children, and God continued to bless David even with this sin. But we must, if we want to overcome temptation, we must understand we are vulnerable to it. Now, as I'm preaching through this today, I know that the Holy Spirit's going to begin to place things in your mind that you're vulnerable to. I encourage the Holy Spirit to do that. I hope that you're open to the Holy Spirit doing that in you. Second thing, we overcome temptation if we realize the battle is spiritual. We realize the battle is spiritual. And that's, see, when Jesus was in the desert, he understood that he had his Father, who had just pronounced who he was, who he had just been filled with the Holy Spirit, so he was empowered by God himself, and yet he had an enemy. There was a spiritual battle going on for the very heart of Jesus and his ministry. The enemy wanted to destroy. You talk about destroying a testimony, something that God was doing. God had a very specific plan for his son. He had something that he was going to carry out, and the devil did not want any of that. Listen, throughout Scripture, we read of this spiritual battle that's going on. 1 Peter, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is intentional, and he is deliberate, and he's coming after us. He wants to take us out. Many times, he does that with our thought life, and that thought life then begins to manifest itself into the actions of our life. Listen to what Peter goes on to say. Resist him, the devil. Stand firm in the faith. Ephesians, Apostle Paul, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's a spiritual battle going on, and the enemy wants to take us out. I asked Billy this question this morning, and I don't know, I don't have any scientific evidence to back any of this up, but I said, in the church, not just our church, but in the church, Christian church-going people, how many people, what percentage of people do you think actually believe that there is a devil and that he wants to take us out? And I bet the percentage is low. I bet it's low that we actually believe this is happening, that there is actually a struggle, and that there's actually someone out to take us out. Now listen to James in chapter 4 of James. Submit yourselves to God. So he tells us what to do first. And then he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we understand that there is a way to resist him. There is a way to combat this enemy that comes against us. Now, Jesus himself knew the battle was spiritual. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He did not go in the desert to be tempted and then come and be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. No, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he went, he launched his ministry out of the power of the Spirit. Third thing, we overcome temptation if we steer clear of people and places that tempt us. Now I'm kind of getting personal now, aren't I? When we steer clear of people and places that tempt us. Now, this is. I don't want you to take this as this is a, I'm telling you to go be mean to people. That's not it at all. People that don't have the love of Christ in them, we love them and we minister to them and we try to be examples to them and so on and so forth. But I have a person that I know, doesn't go to this church. No, most of you would not know who this person is, but this person is an alcoholic. And we know that this person and their wife will go out to eat, and their wife knows that this husband struggles with alcoholism, and she'll just fire her up a big old drink at supper and just, here we go. And I'm going, what? Your husband, this is a battle for your husband. It's a battle. And you're just chugging her down. Now, I'm not condemning you if you have some alcoholic beverage. I'm just saying this is a real spiritual battle for this man. And if his wife loves him, goodness gracious, have a glass of tea. Okay? I mean, we need to separate ourselves from things that tempt us and where we have these struggles. David needed to get off of the roof and go back down into the palace. Are you hearing me, church? I had a call from a phone call, been about 2 years ago now. Now, again, man that I've known for a long time. We're not close friends, but we're friends. I know him. And he thought enough of me to call me with this problem. And he said, Jeff, there's a girl at church in an office environment. Said there's a girl at work. And man, we've been kind of doing this, you know, this little flirting kind of thing, you know, just kind of this little back and forth, you know. He said, man, and this is a married man. And he said, and she's married. And Jeff, I'm really tempted to have an affair with this girl. And I know this man and I know his wife. And I said to him, I listened for a while and I said, dude, if you got to quit that job, quit that job. If you got to flip burgers, run. Don't. He's calling. I don't know what he wanted me to say. I don't know if he was like, well, is she cute? I mean, was that what he wanted me to ask? Do you love her? No. For goodness sake, you pledged a covenant with this woman back at your house. Run. Come down off the roof. Go back into the palace. Don't mess around with that. Because see, the enemy, he disguises sin to make it look good. He puts sin in a little red dress or, you know, a nice suit. And he polishes it up and he goes, ah, Jeff, look at that. You need to do that. Wouldn't have these, whatever that is, that would be fine. You would have, oh, that would fulfill you, Jeff. You really need to do that. And then when you do it, the enemy goes, you are a scumbag. I can't believe that you did that. See, he dresses it up. He dresses temptation up and he entices us with it. And then when we do it, he heaps condemnation on us. Did you know God is not a God of condemnation? He's not a God of shame. God wants wholeness for us. He wants abundant life for us. I told this man, go home and love your wife. Tell this girl, stop toying around with that. Stop it. And if you have to quit your job, then quit your job. We need to steer clear of people and places that tempt us. What are you tempted of? I want to say again, there's all sorts of things that we struggle with. You know, and what's crazy is sin's always been around from Adam and Eve. It's always been around. But I tell people, it's like now sin's piped into our home. It's piped into our pocket. Are you hearing me, church? I mean, we got youth. If any of the youth are awake back there, we got youth. They get cell phones when they're four. How many of you boys, was there any particular thing that you might have struggled with when you hit about 12, 13? Anything come to mind, guys? What if that was piped into your pocket? And we as parents, we're just blind. We don't see it. We don't think about it. It's like we have young people that come through Jared and Tim's area that sexually active at 12, pregnant at 12. addicted to pornography, boys and girls addicted to pornography at 12, 13. Stranglehold on them. You know, when I was a boy, you had to work hard for that kind of stuff. Not that I ever did it. You had to work hard to be bad. Anybody relating? You had to work pretty hard at it, not getting caught. But nowadays, it's piped in to our back pocket. And I can't even, I like to watch football and things like that. And man, goodness sake, I can't even watch half the commercials. I mean, there's commercials, and I'm not saying that I'm pure as the driven snow and that I've never seen a bad commercial or anything, but there's certain commercials that Victoria's Secret deal. I flip the channel. I flip the channel for a couple of minutes and let it pass. I don't need that junk in my mind. I have a beautiful wife. And I want to honor her and I want to honor the Lord. I don't need that stuff in my mind. But they're piping it into us, church. We have to wake up. We have to understand this is a spiritual battle. We need to steer clear of the people and places that tempt us. Finally, we can overcome temptation if we focus on God and His Word and not the temptation. God's Word says that set your mind on things above. Y'all have heard me say this before, but back in my computer days, when I was first learning to be a computer programmer, a long time ago, we had punch cards. That's how long ago that was. I'll explain punch cards to some of you young folks another time. But we wrote our programs on punch cards. And the first thing they teach you about programming is you write a bad program, you're going to get bad results. Garbage in, garbage out. We learned that first week. Garbage in, garbage out. Well, guess what? That's the same thing here, spiritually and mentally. When we put trash into our mind, trash is going to come out of our life. If you don't believe it, just start filling your mind with lots of trash and see what the fruit of that is. Set your mind on things above, God's Word says. All Scripture is God-breathed. Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. That's what Scripture tells us. Philippians, I love this passage that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. He said, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about such things. Put godly things in and watch your life begin to reflect glory to God. Put trash in, watch what happens from that. And I'm not recommending that as a strategy. We are in a battle, church. Temptation is not the battle, and people are not the battle. The battle is a spiritual battle, and the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take us out. And I just want to tell you that I've seen this from both angles. I'm ashamed to say this, but this is where I was at. I wasn't just a total, punk, but I was probably pretty close. But back in the late 80s when Cheryl and I had been married a few, in our first 10 years or so of marriage, she used to want to listen to KGNZ. We'd get in the car, and she'd fire up KGNZ, and I'm not proud of this, but I'd go, what is that junk? What is that junk? Fire up some Willie, baby. Let's get that over there on some Willie. And I had no idea, and I'm not telling you if you like any country music that you're a heathen, you're going to hell or anything like that. I'm just saying that you listen to some of it now, I'm telling you. You listen to some of it. Some of the songs that I used to sing with my dad, my brother, and when we'd sit around and play, some of those songs I used to sing, I was like, holy cow. You're sitting there playing and singing like, lying here with Linda on my mind. What? And next to me is the one I left behind.
I could sing a bar or two for you if you wanted, but what it's talking about is he's with his wife in bed and he wishes she was somebody else. Hello? Is that good? Is that good? I mean, I'm putting this junk in my mind. What are we putting into our mind? Are we thinking about things above? Are we taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ? You know, temptation, as I said, temptation is not a sin. Jesus, we know, we just read, he was tempted. At the end of that time in the desert, he goes through his ministry. And Satan said he was coming back at an opportune time. And I'm sure there were many times that he came back through Jesus' ministry. Each time was rebuffed by Jesus because he was filled with the Spirit. He was a son of God. But yet he gives us the same power to resist temptation. And the last time that I'm aware that he was tempted was in the garden. He was preparing himself to accomplish for our sake the cross, to purchase our eternity. And he's at that deciding moment in the garden, and he goes to pray, and his prayer is, Lord, take this cup from me. Do you think there was a temptation there for him to just go, never mind. I can't do it. I can't do it. This is too painful. I can't go through with this. I know that's what you've called me to do. I know that's why I was born, to come and purchase their salvation, but I just can't do it. You think that temptation was there? What did Jesus say to that? Not my will, but yours be done. So that moment, he understood that to purchase salvation for us took his broken body. And this, as I've said many times, this is a costly meal. It's not a pretty meal. It's a costly meal. And he understood what the cross meant. He understood what a bloody spectacle the cross was. And he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, this cup is now the cup of the new covenant established in my blood. As often as we would eat and drink to remember him. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that Jesus said no to Satan and yes to the cross. Aren't you thankful? So as we come today, I want to just prepare our hearts. If you'll bow your heads and just prepare your hearts. Just, you know, this is a place. This is not a meal for perfect people. It's a place for forgiven and redeemed people. So we confess our sins. We confess our brokenness before a holy God. So just do that in your own heart for just a moment. Father, we thank you for this bread and this cup, and we pray that you'd make them be the body and blood of Christ for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Amen. If those who are serving and the praise team and sound team will come. The invitation this morning is from Christ himself. If you, this table is his table. If you have confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. It's also okay if you do not want to partake this morning, that's okay. We hope that you'll feel free to do that, but it's okay if you don't. We have two stations here and two stations on this end where you will be given a piece of bread, dip it into the juice and partake in that manner, and the altar rail is open. If you'd like to be served with the individual cups, you can come to the center section here and be served in that manner. The invitation is from Christ. Come.
Open up the skies of mercy. Rain down the cleansing flood. Healing waters rise around us. Hear our cries, Lord, let them rise. Open up the skies of mercy. Lay down the cleansing flood. Healing waters rise around us. Hear our cries, Lord, let them rise. It's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love is better than life. We can feel your mercy falling. You are turning our hearts back again. Hear our praises rise to heaven. And draw us near, Lord. Meet us here. It's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love, it's your kindness. It's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love is better than life.
Back to the first verse. Open up the skies.
Open up the skies of mercy. Rain down the cleansing flood. Healing waters rise around us. Hear our cries, Lord, let them rise. It's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love, it's your kindness. It's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, stand inside. we can feel your mercy falling. You are turning our hearts back again. Hear our praises rise to heaven. Draw us near, Lord. Meet us here. It's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love is better than life.
Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Go, be empowered by the Spirit. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
It's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty,